Thank you for listening to the Calvary Chapel podcast. My name is Jonathan Downs, and I am the pastor of Calvary Chapel in Canberra, Australia. I'm delighted that you are listening to this message, and my prayer is that this word will bless your life. If you'd like to submit a prayer request, or if you are interested in a personal Bible study, we would love to hear from you. Please visit our website at www.calvarychapel.com.au to get in contact with us, or if you want to find out more about our church. Thanks for joining us, and let's go to the Word of God. 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 18. Everyone say, got it if you got it. Okay, that's a few people. The rest of you can look at the screen. The angel of the Lord commanded Gad to say to David that David should go up and set up an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. Everyone say the threshing floor. David, go and set up an altar in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. Threshing floors were stone places, outdoor stone floors. They were places that were usually circular in nature, and the farmers would bring all their grain and they would thresh the grain on the threshing floor. Verse 19 says, and so David went up at the saying of Gad, which he spake in the name of the Lord. And Ornan turned back and saw the angel, and his four sons with him hid themselves. Now Ornan was threshing wheat. And as David came to Ornan, Ornan looked and saw David and went out of the threshing floor. This is King David. And Ornan bowed himself to David with his face to the ground. And David said to Ornan, grant me the place of this threshing floor. I want this place, that I may build an altar there unto the Lord. Thou shalt grant it to me for the full price, that the plague may not be stayed from the people. And Ornan said unto David, take it to thee, and let the Lord the king do that which is good in his eyes. Lo, I give thee the oxen also for the burnt offerings. I give you the threshing instruments for the wood. I give you the meat, the wheat, and the meat for the meat offering. I give it all to you. David, you offered to pay. I'm giving it all to you. He finishes off. He says, I give it all. Everyone say, I give it all. And King David said to Ornan, nay, no, but I will verily buy it for the full price. For I will not take that which is thine for the Lord, nor offer burnt offerings without cost. He says, I will not offer anything unto God that doesn't cost me something. So David gave to Ornan for the place 600 shekels of gold by weight. And David built there an altar unto the Lord. And he burned the burnt offerings. He made sacrifices and the peace offerings. And he called upon the Lord. And he answered him from heaven by fire upon the altar of the burnt offering. Romans 12 verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Everyone say holy. That's our life, to present it to God. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Amen. I want to minister today on this title, blessing through sacrifice. Blessing through sacrifice. Everyone say blessing. Now, we love to say that word, but everybody say sacrifice. Blessing through sacrifice. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. Lord, let faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Lord God, I come against any hindrance to the ministry of your word today. Lord, hide me behind the cross. Turn me into a microphone from heaven. Oh God, that the people here today and those listening online would not hear my voice, but oh God, that you would speak, Lord, into every life and every heart, into every circumstance, in every situation. We pray in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. You may be seated. Blessing through sacrifice. The threshing floor. Everyone say the threshing floor. The threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. If you study the Bible, you will find that this place is a significant biblical location. Ornan's threshing floor was at, and it's located on Mount Moriah in Jerusalem. Now, for those that know their Bible, they will know that Mount Moriah is a very significant place in the Word of God. Mount Moriah was a place of sacrifice. In the account that we read today, David comes to the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite, which is at Mount Moriah, and he comes to bring an offering. It's a place of sacrifice. Later on in Genesis 22, Abraham took his son Isaac. When God said, take your son, your only son Isaac, and sacrifice him, they went to Mount Moriah, the same place. If you were to study more, you will also find out that the location of Solomon's temple was also at Mount Moriah. And Solomon's temple was a place of much sacrifice. The temple housed sacrifices including burnt offerings, grain offerings, peace offerings, sin offerings, guilt offerings. It was all there in Solomon's temple, but it was all at Mount Moriah. And so if you look at 1 Kings, the Bible describes the opening of Solomon's temple with so much sacrifice. There was 22,000 cattle, 120,000 sheep and goats. It was all there in Solomon's temple. You see, Ornan's threshing floor is not just some random place. It was at Mount Moriah. And it is no coincidence that David goes to Ornan's threshing floor to sacrifice unto God. Because Mount Moriah, the place of Ornan's threshing floor, was a place of sacrifice. Everyone say sacrifice. There is much debate also around whether or not Jesus was crucified at the same location. We know that he was crucified at Golgotha, but many of the scholars will say that they believe Mount Moriah and Golgotha were either very, very close together or even the same place. And so if we remember Mount Moriah is a place of sacrifice, Jesus was there as he died on the cross, and it was the ultimate sacrifice. I'm speaking about sacrifice today. Our text, David comes to Ornan's threshing floor because he had made a big mistake. He had decided to conduct a census of Israel and Judah. And when he counted Judah and Israel and took that census, it was seen as an act of sin against God. Why? Because it was motivated by pride, and it was motivated by a lack of reliance or a lack of faith in God. David numbered Israel and Judah, and God did not agree with it. It was motivated by pride. It was motivated by a lack of faith in God. And so David has grieved God. And God sends 3 days pestilence on the land. And David was deeply grieved, and he was repentant of his actions. And Gad comes to David and says, David, I want you to go and make a sacrifice unto God at Ornan's threshing floor. And Ornan, as David goes up and he says, I would like to use this place to sacrifice unto God. Ornan says, you know what? You can have it for free. You can have it all. You can have all the instruments. You can have it all for free. But David says, no, I cannot. I cannot give to God that which I have not sacrificed for. I cannot give to God for that which cost me nothing. I cannot take it for free. And so David paid Ornan, and David sacrifices right there, and God answers Ornan from heaven. Everybody say sacrifice. What is sacrifice? Sacrifice means to make an offering, to surrender or to give up something for the sake of something else. Many people in life, they will sacrifice their personal life and their personal hobbies. Why? Because they want to get ahead in their career. They will make sacrifices. Some people, and the Olympics are coming up in July, when you look at the Olympians and you see the great feats of sportsmanship and strength and endurance, you will know that they made great sacrifices to be there at the Olympics. We remembered Anzac Day. I think it was just last Sunday we remembered Anzac Day. And Anzac Day speaks of sacrifice. The soldiers that laid their life down, they sacrificed their life. Why? For freedom in our nation. On Friday night, we had communion here at the church. The communion table, at the communion table, we remember the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. On the cross, he died in our place. He gave his life. He sacrificed his life. So why? So that we could be free from sin and death. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. And so achieving anything in this life, listen to me carefully. Achieving anything in this life, whether physical or whether spiritual, it comes down to what you are willing to sacrifice. How many people know what I'm talking about today? Amen. How many people know what I'm talking about today? You want to achieve anything in this life? Those of you who have great careers and success, those of you that when you look over the things that God has blessed you with, it came with sacrifice. Success is more than just what you are willing to give up. Success is more, about what you are willing to give up rather than what you're willing to do. What are you willing to give up? You cannot find a successful person who will not talk to you about sacrifice. You walk into their office and you say, well, how did you get where you got? How did you enjoy this success? How did you manage to have this successful business? You cannot talk to a successful person who will not start talking to you about sacrifice. And if you look at their life, you'll find that there were points in their life where sacrifice was required to bring them to the place of success. Whether it's business, whether it's education, whether it's sports, whether it's Nobel Prizes, go and read about all the Nobel Prizes winners, and they will clearly tell you that it came with sacrifice. You see, we don't often see the sacrifice. We only see the success. We see successful people. We think, you know what? They just got it automatically. Look how lucky they are. No, we see the success, but we don't see what's behind the success. That what's behind the success is the sacrifice. You see, sacrifice is linked to the divine principle of sowing and reaping. Everyone say sowing and reaping. Throw that verse on the scripture. Up on that scripture up on the screen today, Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 to 9. It says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So what you sow, you will reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall reap of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. You reap what you sow. It depends where you sow. It matters where you sow. Are you sowing to the flesh or are you sowing to the Spirit? And look at this verse, one of my favorite verses. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Can we read that verse together on the screen? And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Well-doing means doing a good thing. Don't be weary in well-doing. And listen to me today. If you will continue in your well-doing, one day your well-doing will turn into well-done. And that's what I want to hear when I get to that great white throne judgment. I want to hear my Lord and Savior say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Let me tell you, if you continue in your well-doing, if you stay faithful to God, your well-doing will turn into well done. Stay faithful to God, whatever it costs you. Clap your hands to the Lord today. Blessing through sacrifice. Talking about sacrifice can make people feel uncomfortable. I understand that. But there is a blessing that comes through sacrifice. Sacrifice is laying down things that are precious to you. But more than that, you don't just lay down things that are precious to you for no reason at all. You do so with the knowledge that by sacrificing this thing and in this moment, it will come back to you in a greater measure. It's not just some blind thing where you just give up stuff that is valuable to you. Sacrifice says, you know what? I'm going to give this up, but I know that in sacrificing this thing in this moment and at this time, that it's going to come back in a greater measure. Now, not many people, after you've been in school 12 years, more than 12 years if you include preschool, and you say, well, I've been in school 12 years, and somebody says, how about going to uni for 6 years? That doesn't sound too attractive. A lot of people like to go to work, start earning some money, start traveling, start having some freedoms, but there is sacrifice. They say, well, it's not even really sacrifice. Let me tell you, that's a first world problem, really. But we say, I'm going to give up the next 6 years of my life to study at university. Why? Because I know that if I do, it will come back to me in a greater measure. And sacrificing food. We don't like to talk about that, but we give up all that lovely food that we love to eat and that makes us feel so good. We give it up. Why? Because we know it's going to come back in greater measure. When I say come back in greater measure, it doesn't mean fatter, but we're going to look better. But it seems to be whenever I seem to do those diets, I never lose any weight. Just put on more weight and it comes back with greater measure. But sacrifice is giving up that which is precious, knowing with the knowledge that what we are giving up in this moment of time will come back in a greater measure. That is the concept of sacrifice. You sacrifice. Why? Because of the cause that you are pursuing. And sacrifice, you can't miss it in the Bible. You cannot miss it. Sacrifice is all the way through the Bible. It starts in Genesis 3 with Adam and Eve. They sinned. They needed a covering for sin. What happened? An animal was sacrificed so they could be clothed with those leather garments. Right there, and that sacrifice was also a type and shadow that Jesus would cover us. By his death and his blood that would be shed, he would cover us as well. Then in Genesis chapter 4, we read about Cain and Abel. They sacrificed. Noah sacrificed. Abraham sacrificed. Isaac sacrificed. Jacob sacrificed. Job sacrificed. When God delivers the children of Israel from Egypt, and Moses goes into Pharaoh and he says, let my people go that they may sacrifice unto God. And then how did they get out of Egypt? It came by sacrifice. The lamb had to be sacrificed. The blood had to be applied. That's how they came out. You see, all of these sacrifices that we read in the Old Testament were all pointing to one sacrifice. Everyone say one sacrifice. They all symbolized, they were all types and shadows of one ultimate sacrifice. They were all types and shadows of one perpetual sacrifice. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11. Under the old covenant, the priest stands and ministers before the altar day after day, offering the same sacrifices again and again, which can never take away sins. But our high priest, everyone say Jesus. But our high priest offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins, good for all time. Then he sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. Every lamb, every goat, every sacrifice in the Old Testament pointed to Jesus Christ. Everyone say Jesus. Jesus would be the ultimate sacrifice, the perpetual sacrifice who would take away the sins of the world. All the other sacrifices, they only push back the debt for a portion of time. But when Jesus died, he canceled it all. He took all of our sin upon him when he died on the cross. You see, there is a blessing in sacrifice. And we are saved because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We stand here redeemed. We stand here forgiven. We stand here with hope. Why? Because Jesus died for us. He gave his life a sacrifice. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Calvary was the ultimate sacrifice. But if you understand anything about sacrifice in the spiritual realm, when you look at the sacrifice on Calvary, if you understand sacrifice in the spiritual realm, you know that while Jesus was hanging on that cross, you know that it's not the end of the story. Because if you understand sacrifice in the Bible, you know that something was going to come through that sacrifice. You see, disguised in that sacrifice, maybe unable to see what was happening on the cross at Golgotha, disguised in that sacrifice was the blessing of God. Let me tell you, there could be no resurrection without a crucifixion. You see, we celebrate Resurrection Sunday. We celebrate that we also resurrected with him, but there would have been no resurrection without crucifixion. I want to tell somebody today, Jesus died on the cross for us. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. You see, as painful as it was, as costly as it was, 3 days later, he rose again, triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. Let me tell you, that is the blessing of sacrifice. Hallelujah. It was not just a death and a burial. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. It was not just a death and a burial, because if that was all that there was, we have no hope. But let me tell you, it was a death and a burial. That was a sacrifice. But it was a death, burial, and it was a resurrection. And today, as we worship God, the resurrected Savior is here in our midst. The blessing of sacrifice. Hallelujah. You see, with God, brothers and sisters, listen to me carefully. With God, sacrifice is never the end of the story. I guess you could say sacrifice is like a seed going into the ground. You put that seed in the ground and you don't see anything happening. It's covered up. It's in the dirt. The seed goes into the ground, but underneath the soil, something is happening. Something is springing forth. You see, with God, sacrifice is never the end of the story. That's the way the kingdom works, brothers and sisters. Let me tell you, there is a blessing that only comes through sacrifice. Don't be afraid of sacrifice. Don't be afraid of what it looks like. Don't be afraid of what it costs you. I'm telling you, it's like a seed in the ground. You might not see it now, but you're going to see it in time. It's the blessing that comes through sacrifice. Hallelujah. I can guarantee you not many churches are going to talk about sacrifice today because people don't like to hear it. But let me tell you, it is the key to being blessed. Don't be afraid to obey God. Don't be afraid when God asks for sacrifice. Think about Abraham, the father of the faithful. God, in Genesis 22, God said to him, he goes, Abraham, take your son, your only son Isaac, the one that you love, take him where? To the land of Moriah, same place of Ornan's threshing floor. He says, offer him there as a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I'll tell thee of. So God tells him, he says, go and sacrifice. And I believe Abraham understood some things about sacrifice. Because you know what? He didn't grumble, he didn't complain. The next verse in Genesis 22 verse 3, it says he got up early in the morning. He never questions. He never argues with God. He says, let's go. He saddled his ass. He took two of his young men with him. He got Isaac, his son. Isaac carried the wood, and they went to the place which God had told them. And Abraham said to the young men that were with him, as he got to that close to that place, he said, stay here with the donkeys, and I and my son Isaac are going to go further. We're going to go yonder and we're going to worship. And you know what he added at the end of that? He said, and we'll come to thee again. We're going to go. You know, he's been called to sacrifice his son Isaac. He gets up. He says, let's go. He gets closer to the place. He says, you stay here with these two donkeys. Young boys, you stay here. Me and Isaac are gonna go and we're gonna worship and we're gonna come back to you. Don't be afraid to obey God when he calls for sacrifice. Abraham said, God has asked me to offer him. God, Abraham says, God has asked me to offer something that is so precious to me. But Abraham says, but I know how the blessings of God work. I know how the blessings of God work. And Isaac said unto Abraham, my father, and he said, well, we've got fire and we've got wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Can you imagine? This kid's going to be traumatized. Well, what's going on, Dad? And Abraham said, no, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So they went forth, both of them together. And the angel of the Lord called out of heaven to Abraham. And Abraham said, here am I. And the Lord said, don't lay a hand on your son. Don't kill him. Don't sacrifice him. And Abraham lifted up his eyes. You see, he went all the way. He was willing to sacrifice. Now God begins to provide. Look at the provision of God. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a ram. Everyone say a ram. Caught in the thicket by its horn. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called that place Jehovah Jireh. And it is said today, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. Everyone say Jehovah Jireh. That means my God shall provide. You will see the provision of God. You will see the blessing of God if you're willing to lay it all down for God. There is a blessing that comes through sacrifice. There is a blessing that you can only experience when you're willing. Like Ornan said to King David, he said, I give it all. There is a blessing that comes when you're like David and said, no, Ornan, I cannot offer anything to God that which didn't cost me something. Let me tell you, if you're going to see the blessing of God in your life, it's going to come through sacrifice. There's some things you're going to have to give up. Even if it requires sacrifice, even if it looks like loss, the blessing will come through sacrifice. We go back to our text again. Ornan is there threshing wheat, 1 Chronicles 21, 22. And Ornan has an opportunity. He's just a farmer. The king, King David, the richest guy in the whole world, in the whole, he's Ornan's world, comes to him and says, you know what? I want to buy it. Ornan said to David, he said, no, don't buy it. I'm going to give it to you as a sacrifice. Isn't that amazing? Ornan said, I give the king everything. He said, I give it all. And David said to Ornan, no, I cannot accept it for free because I want a sacrifice. And so I will not offer anything to God which doesn't cost me something. Tell me, I want to pay the full price. So who gets blessed? Ornan is willing to give it all, and God gives it all back to him. He blesses him. David is there. He said, I will not sacrifice anything which doesn't cost me something. And David's life is blessed as well. The Bible says in verse 26, and David built an altar unto the Lord and burnt the offerings and the peace offerings and called upon the Lord, and the Lord answered him from heaven. Let me ask you today, when you give, it comes back to you. I don't know how it works, but I know when you sow to the Spirit, you reap life everlasting. Everybody wants to be blessed. Nobody wants to pay the price. Everybody wants to be anointed, but nobody wants to pay the price. Everybody wants the fire to fall, but nobody is willing to put a sacrifice on the altar. Brothers and sisters, today, in living for God, it requires us to lay some things down. And it may look like loss, but there's a blessing that will come through it. Hallelujah. As I get ready to close, the musicians could come. Ornan was willing to give it all. He said, I give it all. Everyone say, I give it all. David said, I'm going to pay full price. David said, I give it all. Many people today want God to give them something for nothing. And David said, no, I will not offer to God something that costs me nothing. I won't offer him that which is easy. Now I wonder, you say, well, Pastor, I know that David sacrificed because he had done the wrong thing and he wanted God to take the pestilence out of the land that was there for 3 days, and God did that. But there was a greater blessing that we often miss in David's life. Did David know, listen to me carefully, that when he was paying full price, when he was sacrificing, did he realize, this is important, I prophesy to someone today, did he realize that his son would build on what he bought and paid the price for? Did he realize that when he sacrificed, he was creating a generational blessing? Because as he sacrificed at Ornan's threshing floor, the same place where Ornan's threshing floor was, Solomon's temple would be built. Did he realize that this would be the blessing, that wouldn't that David would just be blessed, but that also his son would build on the same place where David paid the price? Did David realize that he was creating a multi-generational blessing that would touch the generations to come? Let me tell you, there is a blessing in sacrifice. When you read about Solomon's temple, who's David's son, by the way, it was located at the same place, Mount Moriah. It was there at Ornan's threshing floor. And when we read about Solomon's temple, you read about how elaborate it was. You read about how decorated it was. You read about the opulence. You read about the decor. You read about the worship. You read about the excellence. You see something great. You see something amazing. You see something that everybody says, that's a success. That is amazing. But you know what? Nobody saw the ashes. Nobody saw the ashes, because Solomon's temple was built on the ashes of David's sacrifice. There is a blessing that comes in sacrifice. You see, sometimes even the blessing comes disguised as sacrifice. Now, I'm not saying today, brothers and sisters, that we give up our time and our talent and our treasure. We don't give it up to get. That would be a wrong motive. We don't give to get. But when you give, God will pour out a blessing. Do you believe it today? And when you give, not just in our money, but when you give anything, when you sacrifice anything that is valuable to you, that's the way it works. There is a blessing that comes through sacrifice. Let's stand today. See, what you think is a sacrifice today, what you think you're giving up today, is a doorway for the blessing of God in your life. In spite of what they could see that day in Solomon's temple, in spite of everything that they could see with their eyes, in spite of what they saw to be a tremendous success, it was all preceded by sacrifice. And so I finish with this scripture. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I wonder if there's somebody here today, you're wrestling with something, you're struggling with something, maybe even a sacrifice that you need to make. Let me tell you, the blessing of God will come through sacrifice. When you say to the Lord, I will give you all. If all is what you ask of me, I will not withhold, God. I'm willing to say yes. I'm willing to say yes to whatever it is that you require of me, God. And maybe some of us today need to come to this altar. We call this an altar. Why? Because it's a place where we come. We bring our life. We kneel at this altar and we say, God, I belong to you. God, I give it all back to you. I all my ambition, Lord, all my plans, Lord, I lay them at your feet. And when you do so, God will begin to bless you. God will begin to provide for you. And maybe, just maybe, like David, your sacrifice will build a foundation for success in future generations, for blessing in future generations. David, how did you know? He goes, I didn't know. I was just doing what God told me to do. And God bless my son. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands. God is speaking to somebody today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, yes, Jesus. Yes, Lord. This altar's open. I'd love you to come here and kneel at this altar today and say, Lord, whatever you ask of me, I give it all to you. I surrender. Come with hands lifted high. Lord, I surrender all to you today, Jesus. There is a blessing that comes through sacrifice. Lord, I give it all. I give it all. Lord, whatever you ask of me, I will not withhold. And if my sacrifice is less than giving you my very best, let me remember your sacrifice at Calvary. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus.